So welcome inside the Crazy Ant Farm, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I'm great. How are you guys?
Dude, absolutely. We are living the dream, and we are pumped. You're on two of the hottest shows on television right now, man, and just killing it. So, and we've got a lot of followers that are all in on it, so they're going to be pumped to hear from you. It's exciting, man.
Something else I really wanted to mention at the very top of the show, though, is freaking doing our research on Instagram. You're putting our dad bods to shame, bro.
Yeah.
Put all that away, okay? Shame. I'm just letting you know.
Listen, no, I'm gonna own my dad bod because I'm actually a dad and a little bit older than you guys, so I'm gonna own my dad bod. He might be putting you to shame though, Logan. I'm just saying.
But come on, Logan, you know you gotta, you know, after Gen V, I was like, well, this was even before Gen V when I did the audition, and I was like, I washed my tape back, and in an event I booked this, I look not the part. Like, I just gotta put some work in, you know? And I think starting next week, like right after the next week of the audition, I just started hitting the gym regularly, you know, just
there you go.
That's great. Do it,
right? So thank you. I really appreciate it, though.
To be fair, though, Logan is working hard. He's about to marry my daughter in about 65 days, and he's been hitting the gym to get in that tuxedo shape. So, you know, he's been hitting it. He's been doing good.
Dude, that's awesome, man. I love that. I'm trying to do the same because, you know, when the year changes, there's like a sense of motivation that just hits you.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to ride off that wave, too. But that's awesome. How long have you been working out, Logan?
So, I mean, it's been off and on, but since, honestly, since October, because we did a Sober October challenge between him and myself, and I've been doing at least 15 miles a week. I've just been, you know, trying to either walk or exercise, hike, that type of thing, but this past week, I did my most, which is 21.37 miles in a week, so that was really cool. So that's averaging about, you know, 4.5 miles every time I go outside. So that's been really exciting, but I mean, the goal is to, I mean, Planet Fitness has been promoting it like crazy. 24 cents down, $10 a month. So I'm going to be signing up to get back to the gym too. I'm really excited about it.
All right. So before we get into any of the fun stuff, let's just hit the serious questions right here. What do you bench and what do you press or squat?
Right.
Oh, what do I bench? You know, obviously with my weight, the goal is 225.
Okay.
But I'm right now I'm doing 45 on each side. I do max like 25 on top of that. So that's 45, 45, 90. The bar is like 25, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So let's go like around 140 is
all right. Like all right. And what are you squatting? Are you squatting?
Squat, yeah. Around the same weight, to be honest. Unless it's a Smith machine, then I can do 245.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then I can go a little ham. You know?
Well, then even more so, echoing Logan, kudos, man, because based on your size and your frame, that's impressive. That's off to a good start. You're doing great.
I appreciate it. Yeah. It's definitely something if you feel it for the next 3 days. So. You know,
exactly. I love it. Okay, so now that we know you're in shape and working hard to get into superhero body form, let's talk about the dream of acting and how that all started, because we know it didn't just jump into I want to be a superhero. Did you start off at a really young age kind of knowing that you wanted to get into this kind of a thing and be an actor, or did you kind of fall into it? How did it start, man?
It's really weird. So I actually had no clue of doing any of the film related stuff. It was until grade 11. I was still in India, by the way. Like, I grew up born and raised there, right? So I was still in India, not a huge thing in the city that I was in anyway. Like, nobody would look at me seriously if I would talk about acting.
Right.
You would have to move to like a different part of India to pursue acting. Except I was in grade 11 and I had sciences. I wanted to do engineering like every other Indian guy ever, you know, but my grades were like, you got to do something else. You cannot do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's when it kind of, I had a conversation with my mom. I still remember it was over lunch and I was like, I got to do photography. You know, I want to do photography. I want to do, if there is a world where I could be a model, I'd love to do that, you know? And, she just told me one thing. She was like, whatever you pick now, you just got to stick to it. Because I had a tendency of switching things. Like, I'd play basketball, I'd play soccer, and then commit, like, buy all the gear, you know, get everything related to this specific thing that I was doing. But she was like, you just got to stick to it. And then I moved to Toronto. This was finished grade 12, moved to Toronto. And then that's when it kind of started happening. And it was still, I had no clue. I wanted to direct. And they told me that you could be acting at the same time, which would make you a better director. And that made a lot of sense. So I just started, you know, pursuing that. And then acting actually got more interesting. So I was like, wait. And then, you know, the past 2 years, I'm like, wait, I got to flip it. So I'm trying to do, you know, I'm trying to find balance with that always. Yeah. But that's kind of like, I never, like growing up, I had no clue, nothing acting related. Nobody in my family is into arts, musicians, none of that except me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really cool, though, because I feel like I can relate a little bit to that, because it's either, I don't know if you're like this, but I'm either like all or nothing, and then I suffer from massive burnout. Like, I'll be like, all right, let's do this, like for like 2-3 weeks, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of sick of this now. Mm-hmm. So to be able to actually find your pacing and your footing and to stick to what you want to do is honestly very impressive, because a lot of people, you know, especially in our industry, whether it be the acting, directing, photography, directing, or cinematography, a lot of people pick it up and then try to do a little something, and then just kind of they lose momentum because they see how much work you actually have to put into this craft that is creative, but it's also a lot of work. So to be able to balance that and figure out what you want to do is a testament to you and your drive and your determination. So kudos to you on that. But I mean, do you still take pictures? Do you still like get out there and try to, you know, shop?
It started off as pictures, but I thought like there was always something video related to it.
You know, exactly.
Do video. It just felt like the easiest in was pictures. And everybody around me told me that I was good at it. So that felt good. I felt like I had a sense of, you know, framing and composition without actually learning and putting in the hours. Right. And but recognizing it now, I'm like, oh, now that I actually actively focus on something like that, I get a lot out of it. It's like, oh, this is why this worked, and this is why this doesn't work. So it's not just an instinct that, oh, I'm just born with it.
Yeah,
it's
more, right.
Yeah. Like, oh, you got to avoid certain stuff because sometimes it just does not work. Right.
So, and then when you pick up the camera like that, because I think it's really good advice, whoever gave it to you that said, hey, if you act, it's going to make you a better director down the line, kind of a thing. Because when you do pick up the camera after being in front of the camera, you do understand things a little bit better. You understand the blocking and the lighting and the lens and why you're doing certain things certain ways and why it works and why it doesn't work. I think it's a huge thing to be able to know both sides of the camera. But you saying that, though, and because you still kind of do pursue it and you have that knowledge of it, is the directing thing something you still see yourself doing at some point down the line, transitioning back behind the camera and kind of doing both?
I feel like I can't not do it. So I'm consistently doing it at all times. I have a production company with my producing partner. His name is Mitchell Jaramillo, shout out. And you know, we're doing that consistently. So we have a production company called Hold the Sauce Films.
Nice.
And there's a couple of things that relate to that. So I want to ask you why you guys call, you know, the podcast and the production company Crazy Ant.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so a lot.
Yeah.
So I want to dive into that.
Okay. It's an interesting story. So we met. Because we were both working at a television station. Our background started off in broadcast journalism, and it kind of went into the film stuff or whatever. So before I came across Logan, before he started the station or whatever, we ran a story there. It was down in the South. And we ran a story about how this particular area was being overrun by crazy ants. They had kind of taken and come into the thing. And crazy ants are these like real high intense yellow ants that get mm-hmm. into your electronics and fuck up your electronics. They eat the insides of the electronics. So what? When it came time when we started the company and I was thinking about the name and everything, I was like, "What? How ironic would it be that we call this thing named after something that would tear up all of our equipment if it actually got a hold of it and kind of like got in there and everything?" And we were like, "Let's just go with it. Let's just spoof the name of what would be the total opposite of what we would want to happen." And then, so that's where the name came from. The logo was very specific too. Not Bonk, not the mascot. He's just the crazy right. ant. But the logo, right. if you notice, it's got the one eye is a film reel, one is digital. Mm-hmm. And it represents right. Logan and I, old school film mm-hmm. guy, new school video, and how that's we awesome. Merge and yeah. make it work. Because we both mm-hmm. come at it from very different ways. It's kind of yeah. like what's happening in the industry right now and the transition in the industry. And so oh. we're a prime example of making it work. How do you take this old mm-hmm. guy that loves to shoot on film, doesn't really understand anything about digital, and you know, mm-hmm. and then how you take this new guy and teach him about film and why that worked and why we do the things with, and it's been a beautiful collaboration and it's been amazing, and that's where the name came from, and that's how it just kind of sprouted, and we've been really lucky. People recognize the name, they know it now when they see it. We walk down the street, people know Bonk, they're like, "Oh my god, that's it," and we're like, "Okay, cool," you know. So
that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Okay, so now we got to know. Where's your name come from?
For Holden Sauce, you know, during COVID, it was a perfect opportunity to just like, you know, self-taping was the next big thing, right?
For sure.
So it was a perfect opportunity because I didn't have the capacity to really direct projects back then because I was just doing everything on my own. And so I found a way. I brought in like all of my friends for free. I'm like, you know, I know you pay like 50 to 100 bucks to do a tape.
Yeah.
Come with me. We'll work it out. We'll like spend, if you spend an hour there, we'll spend like 2.5 hours, you know.
Right.
We found like different approaches to doing things. And I had noticed when I started working with newer people, there was a layer of something more than just story. You know,
mm-hmm.
and as filmmakers, weirdly first, you know, you guys understand story is king. Like even when it comes down to an audition, if it doesn't make sense, my kind of rule of thumb is anybody should watch it and be able to tell what's going on.
Yes.
You know, because some producers are not into the scripts as much as others. So like if they watch it and they see you doing some wonky stuff, they're probably not going to be, you know, seeing the story as much. They're just going to get distracted by everything else. So that distraction, I started talking about it with actors and we just named it Sauce.
So
we're like, you know, hold the sauce. Like, let's do one which doesn't have the sauce, like the actor sauce on it.
Right.
And the more Mitch and I talked about it, it was something that was applicable for like everything.
Sure.
So when we're doing a music video, we could do it in a saucy way for the sake of sauce, or we could just talk about the story. And usually, you know, we found more meaningful, like more meaning within it, which was like, you got to earn the saucy stuff. Like you can have saucy stuff, but if the story supports it and you have interesting things going on in the beginning of the film, then you can have a sequence that doesn't really make sense. And it's just like flashing lights or whatever, but you have to earn. And, you know, there's so many ways to earn it. You get a big star. You have a story that's very compelling right off the bat. So that kind of, you know, turned into a production company name. And
yeah.
People ask it, they're like, "Why Hold the Sauce?" And I'm like, "Bro, we can sit down and talk about it."
for sure. And anytime you can get anybody to talk about your company, even if it's about why or where the name comes from, they're talking about the company. So it's brilliant, you know? It's fantastic. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where I feel like, yeah, it's all about communicating and getting your name out there and being able to, you know, finally share your passion and your ideas with different people. That's what happened after we did our first short film, Deadlines. You know, it was a very, you know, social justice project, had a lot to do with bullying, gun violence, mental health. So it's definitely not a comedy, as you can tell, but to be able to, you know, bring subject matter that is not necessarily talked about in day-to-day life and be able to have people sit down and watch it with a mass group of people and be like, okay, now let's start a conversation, because it invokes the conversation after watching the film. So, I mean, that's what I feel like we do as storytellers, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to bring up things in conversations that are not always easy, to break the tension, to do all of these different things. So that's why, you know, it's important to have more filmmakers feel like they can have their voice be heard, because it's so important. So that's always freaking fantastic. But man, I'm super curious too, because, you know, with you bouncing around a little bit from different countries and finally getting your footing and everything, did you have some sort of like separation anxiety or like missing home when you came over to Toronto and started getting your footing and doing things, but you felt like you couldn't be with your family or support system and be like, hey, look what I'm doing, like in person?
It's a very consistent thing. I would say it's like ongoing 24/7, except I think I did one thing that I wish I could go back and fix it a little bit. I banked on, you know, the small wins are very important. Mm-hmm. So like, obviously, like, you know, you book a commercial. Now it feels like, okay, you know, I booked a commercial. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And back then it was like, whoa, this means I'm going to be on TV. This means people are going to watch me. Like, that's it. It holds so much weight. And a part of me was always, it's just the way I operate too. It's like, part of me always wanted to like wait until I did the next big thing to tell my friends back home, or like the people that I really, you know, that were like supporting me in different ways. And I always, like, I booked a commercial and I was like, you know what? When I book a better commercial, I'll let them know. This one, they wouldn't even. And then I booked a small, like a guest role. And then I was like, you know what? When I book a big role, and then I'm going to let them know. And I delayed it to the point, like, I never really let them know.
Yeah. It's like, oh shit, I forgot all about it. Like, yeah.
So that was, you know, something that also added to, you know, that feeling of like, oh, I don't actually talk about that with a lot of people that I should have been talking to. Because it's such an interesting career too, especially with, you know, Indian background. I mean, a lot of people are a lot more supportive, so I don't want to feed into the, you know, the stereotypical like Indian families are not supportive. They're very supportive. My mom is like, she's so sick. She's just amazing. Like, she's been supportive since the beginning. So it's, you know, and I think a lot of people share that these days, but it's still a consistent thing. And it's, I'm still on the same mindset of like, you know, I'm going to do a project that's going to reach the masses in a way that they're just going to know, and they're going to hit me up and be like, yo, you didn't even tell me about this. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I've been waiting since the first commercial ever.
Yeah.
To be able to tell you that. And I mean, kind of to piggyback off that a little bit, you know, when I first started with Crazy Ant and when we first started developing projects for other people, you know better than anyone else that this is a slow burn type of industry. You know, things don't happen overnight, and different opportunities present themselves, some good, some bad, and it's all about decision making. Well, I ran into a situation to where I felt like, you know, after the first couple years, you know, at the very beginning, everybody was very supportive, like, oh my goodness, look what you're doing, that's awesome. But now, you know, after creative differences of projects that took up 2 or 3 years, and after all of these different things, and I'm still, you know, promoting and telling people about this stuff, but it feels like they're not as like enthused or invested in what I'm doing, if that makes any sense, because they're like, oh, because they don't see all of the behind the scenes stuff, they don't see all the work that you have to do while you're going through it. So just remember that too, to remember who was always there for you at the very beginning, and remember, you know, those people who said they don't really support you, but then when you have like this big accomplishment, they're like, oh yeah, I remember, I knew him when. Like, no, fuck you.
If they ask for tickets to the red carpet premiere, it's like, where were you when we were trying to get there? You know? Yeah, no, you're not getting on the red carpet. Are you kidding me? Like, right now? But, you know, that's the mentality, though. Most people think that somebody comes up with an idea, they write a script, they film it, and it's out. If they don't understand the process of the development and the pre-production and the post-production and all of the stuff that goes into it prior to it being seen by somebody, and it, you know, just is what it is. But I, you know, it's so funny that you talk about, though, the one thing that I wish I could do different and go back and kind of do, and it's like, it's a great transition to do. If only you had a pond that you could go back and fix all that. Like, wait a minute. Yeah, it's all a plan. That's right. That's right. So let's talk about it, man. The Way Home.
Right.
What a concept. First of all, like, I joke with everybody because when I tell them that I'm watching it and I say it's on Hallmark, they're like, wait, what? No, that's like CW, right? Or something like that. I'm like, listen, it's Hallmark, I'm telling you, and it's not a romantic comedy, and they don't all end up together, and they don't do – I'm like – so it was just an amazing – I found it was a really amazing concept. It's kind of like a supernatural or witch type story, but it's also a crime drama. You're trying to figure out where the missing boy is and what's going on there. You got a family drama, what's going on with the divorce and all this kind of stuff. And it's like all perfectly molded together in this story. And I'm like, this is brilliant. This is a really well-crafted idea that was implemented really well. And talk about what it was like going in there, because I always feel like it's like, oh, you're going to be the young version of this established character kind of thing. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay. Do I play off this guy's performance as the guy? Do I make it my own? Do you kind of talk about that? Like when you found out what the role was going to be, how you auditioned for it, and then how you approached it. Because it's a really, I got to be honest with you. When I first saw you, I'm like, this guy's a douche. And I think that was the goal, though. I mean, I think everybody was like, that's what we want him to think. But how is he like this? How's he like Brady grown up nice guy? Like, I don't understand. Right. You know, where'd we go? So talk about that.
It's very interesting because, you know, Al plays the older version and he's great. But the difference actually kind of allowed for the room for exploration.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
I could be. Realistically, because I didn't have to live up to or be a version of Al, because I really am a different person back then, and he becomes a different person. So we didn't get to have those chats where, you know, Al, tell me what you're doing so I can, you know, try to put that in my performance. If anything, the more absurd and the more strange I was in that world, the more effect Al's niceness would have in the present or the future for me. So that was an interesting, it kind of happened in a way that made it easy for me too, you know, and for Al, I hope, because then you're not consistently worried about tying those ends. I could just be as douchey as possible. And Al has got to be as nice as possible. And then it just, the extreme ends just really work well, right?
Right.
So the approach was fairly simple. The auditioning process was also very simple, except the first time I auditioned, I had a beard. They were like, wait, do that again.
Yeah, you're supposed to be 15. Like, you know, you look 30. What's going on?
So that was funny. I remember my agent calling me and they were like, you know, do you still have that tape? And I was like, oh, do you still remember that tape? I was like, I do. They want you to do it again, but without a beard. And they don't tell you, like my agent, they don't tell me until it's like a closed, you know, deal,
right.
Obviously, because, you know, or I would just be like hoping for things to happen.
Right.
So in the moment I was like, oh, this means that that's probably a good thing, unless that's, you know, and so we retaped it. It actually was different. I tried to make everything, you know, every take. I try to do it. I don't know if it comes across. We'll have to talk to the director about that. But I try to do it differently every time. And I think it was different, but still in the same vein. And that's how we, you know, that's how I ended up on the set. And then we started doing it.
Yeah.
That is awesome, too, because I feel like, you know, especially with kind of like, because it's kind of a period piece, too, you know, traveling back in time and being in like the mid 90s, I think that's kind of where it is, to be able to, like, because I know you're a very fashionable guy. So you are able to play with a little bit of fashion choices and to be able to you kind of collaborate on that, even though right now I feel like, you know, things from the 90s and the 80s, they always come back and you're able to rock it now. But yeah, so that's always very interesting, too. And I feel like, you know, the cast that you, played with, because I always think about it as imagination, and it's just right. one big thing to have fun with. The cast that you were able to communicate and double with was also as good as you, because just the dynamic that everybody had on set, it seemed to have seeped through the TV screens to where it felt like you were back in high school going through all of this drama, all of this love, all of this different things. And I think that's what was so special about your character and your portrayal. You were able to identify these certain things about this character and being able to portray it to where us as audience members are able to feel that. So that's mm-hmm. always, like, I feel like one of the best things you can do as an actor, oh right?
I'm glad I came across that way. That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I want to add to that, because I basically said, you know, came out and called you a douche. But yeah, you know. but by the end of it, and this is a testament to your acting skills and how well you were able to make the connection with the audience, because by the end of it, you're seeing this basically arrogant, cocky guy, but he's really on the inside insecure. And he's noticing that the best friend is getting the attention that he wants. Hey, what's that handhold? Why she go to him when she's in trouble, kind of a thing? And you start to feel bad for you. You start to understand that attitude is really a wall, and that you're really insecure, and you're not as vain as you come across. You're actually feeling things, and you're recognizing things, and maybe you're a little, and I like that the whole, you know, I was jealous of you, when the adults have that conversation, you know, right, kind of right. a thing. And you did a really good job of making somebody that's not very likable. Mm-hmm. You were kind of rooting for the guy in the end, and you kind of see the transition into why he becomes a good guy down the line. And mm-hmm. and that's a huge testament to your acting, because I think when you can take a character that initially the audience is like, what an asshole, we don't want this guy, why did she even marry him? And then you're rooting for him at the end, and you're kind of like, that's huge and hard to do. So the way that you were able to communicate that and effectively get that to the audience, where, like Logan said, we connect with that. Because right. there's who hasn't been out there where they're totally in love with a girl and the girl is just totally wants somebody else. Might be with you, but you know in your heart she wants somebody else. We've all been there. That's high school, man. So to be right. able to get there and have the audience connect and root for you like that, it was superb, man. It really was.
Thank you. I highly appreciate it. And, you know, I think writing plays a huge, huge role when it comes to something like that. And because for me, as an actor, the biggest focus is, you know, working with the cast. And in the moment, like, even when they yell cut, if I see Alex and David, you know, the other two, I see them talking too much. I'm like, yo, how are you guys talking about me?
Come on,
guys, like, yeah, let me be a part of this conversation. I know what the hell's going on.
That's fantastic. So you're a method actor. No. That's great, though. I love that, man. That's fantastic.
It's kind of hard to not feel that way when you're, you know, around actors who are fully committed. Mm-hmm. David, Alex, Sadie, they're all fully locked in. So it's actually, I can't even imagine not feeling the way I felt while we were filming, or even offset, you know, because it just seeps in. We're having great conversations. We're just hanging out the whole time. So we're building that chemistry. So I'm just glad that came across that way. It's actively just focusing on just making sure the writing comes across, mm-hmm. and the writing just takes care of everything else, which is so great for the show. And, you know, that's why we have a season two, and it just gets
crazy. Speaking of, no spoilers, but do we see, you know, young are you there? I don't know, it kind of left off. It's like, do we go back to the 90s, because, you know, like,
you know, certain answers can only be found if you visit certain places through the pond, right?
So, that's right.
To me, it's almost like, why would you not, right? Like, you gotta
figure something
some loose end there.
For sure.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, we're rooting for you, man. We want to see you again. Let's go back to the 90s, all right? We gotta see you a little bit more.
I think about that too much.
Well, and you are another one of our first as well, because, you know, we've interviewed a lot of people from Hallmark Films, but never anybody from like a Hallmark TV show. So that's really cool. And we know that the films, you know, they run and gun like out in 2 weeks. So how was it like? Because a lot of your stuff was kind of in the back half of season one. So how long were you on set and how much of a duration did you have there?
I was there for the first season, because we don't know about the second one, but, you know, I was there. It felt like I was, cause it was very, scattered, right? Mm-hmm. All my days I was on set, it was very scattered. So it almost felt like I was there all the time. Mm-hmm. But you know, as you are familiar with, I wasn't, in every scene ever. So I spent a good amount of time with the cast, and I got to, you know, meet everybody. So that was good. But actually, you know, fun fact, I never saw Al at the same time.
Really?
Oh,
makes sense, right? Because we're in different time periods.
That's right. That's right.
Still hoping to see him at least once, but we got coffee a bunch of times after. So it makes sense.
Well, it also makes sense, because anybody who watches Back to the Future knows if you guys see each other at the same time in the wrong time, you mess everything up, bro. You can't do that. So there's a reason they kept you apart.
That's a very good point. I like that.
So to wrap up on the way home before we jump into Gen V, because we're excited about that one too. We've heard from previous guests and from friends in the industry that we know and everything that Hallmark is like a really great company to work for, that they're very family friendly and that they're very, you know, actor friendly and crew friendly. And is that true? Did you find that it's a really good experience and a really good company to work for?
Oh my God, 100%. And also to tie that loose end, we had a long time. We had time to shoot this. It wasn't as run and gun. We had the time to explore different ways to do it. So that was, you know, to answer that question.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very, it felt like family. Like I still, you know, when the last day was actually very hard, I was like, oh, so we don't know if we're going to see each other again. And that felt like a thing. And even though I was there for not as long as, you know, I would have wanted to be, but at the same time, it still felt like in the time that we did spend together, just the connections were there. And you're absolutely right. Whatever you've heard is so true. They take care of you, and they're just great to work with.
Good.
You know?
Good. We love to hear that. And kudos to them for making the moves that they're making with, because they were hammered for a very long time about the lack of diversity and the lack of, and you are a testament of, they are absolutely moving in the right direction, and you're seeing these movies and you're seeing these series and you're seeing the representation that we're getting now. And so it's amazing to see that happen. And we're so happy that you're a part of it, because you're just like an incredible actor. So it's nice to see that representation and have you be a part of it. Now, Logan, I know you're going to jump all over this, because you're like, yeah, we were both like just all in on The Boys. Obviously, it's like, you know, we're Eric Kripke fans, Supernatural, like, oh my God, he's doing a superhero series, we got it, oh my, just dive in or whatever. Totally drastic change though from The Way Home and what's going on. Know, there, right? Yeah. It's just me, like, I mean, this is like, I don't, bloodshed porn for like anything that's kind of going on. All right, dive in, man, talk about that experience.
Gen V was it was different. It was very different, obviously, right? Because intense in different ways.
Yeah.
Because working with Hallmark, there's like a certain limit to the intensity that you hit. You can hit levels of intensity within that range, right? But with this, it's definitely goes above and beyond. And if it's The Boys, then it's even above beyond. Crazy. So it was a really good time though. I actually got to see some people that I had, you know, admired, like Jazz Sinclair. I'd seen her on this show. It's called Easy on Netflix. I don't know if you guys.
Yeah.
It's a great show. And it kind of flew under the radar for a lot of people, but I really liked it. So I was kind of like, oh, you're on Easy. And she was talking to me, like, yeah. I was like, that's crazy. That's one of my favorite shows. She's like, really? Wow. Because nobody really talks about that as much. But overall experience, got to work with great directors, and you know, it was just different. It was just very different, but it's still had that same vibe. Everybody was very nice. Everybody was, and we kind of were all in the same age group. So, you know, it was very easy to just talk to people and just feel the vibe of the set, which was, like I said, different.
Oh yeah, for sure. Because I feel like, you know, you have a lot of people who specifically in your age group that are in kind of like around the same spot that you are in your career, you know, being able to be up and comers and rise and grind and be able to do things. Did you learn anything from any of your other fellow castmates?
Yeah, for sure. Because it's a lot of, it felt like a lot was at stake. And so yeah. Working with that kind of pressure in a weird way, I took that away as like, okay, you know, this is a level up. If I can work with a crane coming down on the shot, because we shot some stuff that didn't make it to the final cut, but you know, there was a crane shot that was like, you had to time it perfectly with everything, and I was like, oh shit, this goes beyond the acting classes and everything that you've ever learned. Because, you know, that's another thing that really these sets teach you, is you got to be able to work the technical.
Yeah,
and sometimes you know, you see actors that you're like, oh, you're okay, you're not the greatest actor, but you're consistently working. And how is that? It's because they're so good with hitting the mark. They got the technical shit down.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
And that kind of taught me that. So when I hopped off that set, I was very mindful of, I want to include marks. I want to include, you know, where the camera is in the next rehearsal that I do on my own, even if that means making a short to practice that, or, you know, working with friends. Is like, no, let's not just talk about the depth of the scene and what the characters are feeling 24/7, because we got to film it. Let's talk about
how it's
filmed. That's a big skill set that that show kind of, you know, CPR'd me into. It was like, yo, you don't even know about this.
Yeah, yeah. Just love that, because that's how we balance each other. Right. Yeah, I'm a very, let's talk about the characters and let's talk about the acting. And he's a very camera and scene and shot guy. And so we're learning from each other. He's taking from me, I'm taking from him. And it makes us as directors that much better, because we see it from those different points of view and know it's an amazing, but it's like you said, going back to the whole, when you're on set, it's the ultimate learning experience. If you just sit back when you're not working and you're watching and you're taking it all in, there is no better film school than being on a set. I mean, it's amazing.
It's weird. Yeah, the more you do it, the better you get at it.
For sure.
The only tricky part is, in a lot of cases, you don't get to do it a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, the takeaway from that set was, you got to make it happen on your own.
That's right.
And not for the sake of, oh my God, I got to make a movie. Even if you want to be a better actor, you got to be able to work with people in, you know, in unison, and just figure out those crazy, like, we all want to do a long shot that's like 14 minutes, you know, Tar style, and like it's a full thing.
Yeah.
Right? But at the same time, when you tell actors, like, all right, so you have 17 marks in that scene.
Yeah.
And you've ever done scenes in class, like a self-tape. And now it's a whole different game. You forget how to walk. You forget how to talk while you're walking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's like a whole different thing. So that was the biggest learning curve. And, you know, that's something that I'm consistently trying to work on, find more creative ways to incorporate in what we do.
Mm. You know, yeah, most definitely. And I feel like a lot of people are going to learn from this interview from you, because this podcast is built off of, you know, helping the up-and-comers break into the entertainment industry. So thank you so much for sharing your story and sharing the different things that you have learned on set. Because like I said, I am a very a visual and listen to type of person. That's how I learn. And to be able to hear different experiences like that, I always love hearing, like, you know, family stories and from people I don't even like know of. And it's hilarious. But what we like to do is at the very end of our interviews is do a list of popcorn questions. This is something new that we'll be trying out in 2024.
For sure.
They're fun questions. I hope you don't have to think too hard about them, because if you do, there's something going on. But the first question is, what was the funniest moment or most memorable moment on set? Let's talk about The Way Home. Let's talk about that one.
Most memorable. All right. I'm not trying to think too much about it, so I'll give you something that was kind of fun. There was a scene where we had to I hop out of a car. You've seen that, you know, that happened.
Yep.
A few years ago. I hop out of the car with Alex, and with this specific scene, we shot everything with the car first, with the car standing there, and we decided, for some reason, we decided to do the car pulling in at the very end. Okay. And nobody really paid attention to the fact that the car was a manual. And so we're like in the green room, we're waiting. This is the last shot. Like we could go home, and this is the easiest part of the whole thing.
Exactly.
It's wide, you know?
Yeah.
It's like an extreme wide, so you just gotta leave with the car. That's it. It's like, what are we all waiting for? And you know, our AD and our director, they come in, and they only bring me out, and I'm like, wait, am I what's happening? It's like that prince walk to the principal's office, you know, it's like, what did I do wrong? And they kind of pull me in close, and they were like, so we have a problem. And they're like, what happened? So, you know, we shot the whole thing, and we have it, except the car is a manual. And, you know, this is going to be like, what do we do? And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. Except I know how to drive a manual.
There you go. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I kind of played into it for like 2 seconds. And then I was like, I can't play into it too much. I just want to let them know. Like, yeah. I know how to do it. And that was such a, it just gave me like so much more confidence too.
For sure.
Because, you know, you got to hit those marks with the car too. And I was like, all right, so now that you know that I do this, and you've allowed me to do this, I'm like ready to go, you know.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Like a boost, because they were betting on it. Apparently they were like, there's a 75% chance that this is not going to work out, and you would have to like figure something out about this. Except it worked out. So, you know, that was something that I tell people whenever we talk about the way home. It's like a fun baller story.
Hell yeah. And good for you for being honest about it, even though you messed with them a little bit. Because I worked on a film where the actor was not honest about it and couldn't drive it. And the scene requires him to pull up at a like a drive-through, like a A&W type thing. You know, it's at a drive-in. And he pulls up, and the camera's right in front, and they're trying to get the shot, and the car jumps. Like, it almost takes out the crew in front of him, and like all the kind of, because he didn't know how to drive it, and it wasn't in park, and it wasn't ret, and it just kind of, whoom. It was horrible. So good for you for messing with them, but then also saying, oh, I can drive it. Don't worry, I'm good, yeah. You know.
Oh, my. I'd put it on the resume. I'd put it on the resume.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Cool. For sure. Skills. I can drive the car. All right. This is an interesting one. We always get some interesting answers with this one, so we're always really curious. If you could live in any film, what film would it be?
Oh, my God. It can't be my favorite. Ooh, that's a tricky one.
Yeah, yeah. Where would you go, my man?
What? Because my favorite film is Pi.
Oh,
I'm like, where would I be?
Yeah, where would you be in that film? That's interesting.
I'm going to find myself in that movie. Oh my God. Okay, let's talk about A Beautiful World, built by Wong Kar-wai. This is a very typical one, but In the Mood for Love.
Oh, you know, yeah.
The way that film is shot is just like, I try. That's a goal. It's a personal goal.
All right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, In the Mood for Love. You know that full of culture, super rich, and the slow motion shots, it just blows my mind. I love slow motion.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's so good. I mean, it we're such cinematic and filmmaking nerds when we just get so excited about shots. When you're like in a theater just watching a movie and you're like, holy shit, that looks amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, when
people you're with are like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. And you know when the answer to the, yeah, same. And when the answer to the question is you want to live in a film because of the filmmaking and because of the cinematic part of it, instead of what the you know, you're a total film nerd. It's exactly. You know, it's like the slow motion. I want to live in a world where I can move in slow motion and do like all. I love that, bro. That's a great answer. That's such so a good answer. All right, what you got next, Logan? Which one do we want to hit him with?
So the next one is going to be, if you could work with anyone, who would it be?
Ooh. Okay. I've been watching a lot of Christopher Abbott.
Yeah.
And I feel like we, you know, we kind of have a similar vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys agree, but that's somebody that, well, if we talk about like recent times, you know, that's something I'd love to.
For sure. Yeah. I can see that. I can see that collaboration, honestly. I think, totally.
We'll put it out to the universe.
That's right. That's right. Put it all over social media. We're going to manifest that into reality, my man. We're going to make that happen. Let's see. What is your typical morning routine?
Typical morning routine. Is this like what actually happens, or is this what I try?
No. Let's be honest about it. What do you try to make happen, and then what's reality? Like, you know.
All right. So ever since the new year, it's been, I try to wake up early. I just wake up early. So like, I don't know if 7:38 is considered early, unless you're David Goggins, you know?
Right. Exactly.
So that's kind of like, the time I wake up, try to make tea, you know, Indian chai, like fully.
For sure.
And I watch Mad Men like the first thing in the morning.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And I watch an episode, and then I try to go into working, you know, on Hold the Sauce, just some client work, creative stuff that we try to figure out. But that's kind of like, it's a very ease into it. And by noon, you figure out if you can still hit the gym, if there's enough time.
Yeah.
But you know, four times a week, I try to hit the gym. So whenever that fits into the schedule, it's usually in the morning. But yeah, it's a very chill routine. Watch inspired right off the bat with Mad Men, you know, and then you're like, okay,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, one of the greatest shows ever, honestly. And the amount of people that came through that show, like, I mean, when I first watched it, and I kept, I'm like, I didn't know Such and Such was on it. I didn't know Such and Such was on it, you know. And yeah, it's just
mind-blowing show.
Brilliant show. And we've had the great pleasure of interviewing like a ton of people off of that show, and have become friends with a lot of them. And it's just like, yeah, what a brilliant show, man. That's so good.
So well done. And the cinematics too are just insane.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
exactly. You know, Logan knows. Logan knows.
That's right. He knows.
So funny. Well, I'm so glad you brought up David Goggins, because we were talking about exercising way back at the very beginning of our conversation. And literally first day of exercising, I was listening to a Joe Rogan, David Goggins podcast, and freaking, I tried to do too much and like pulled my calf. So David Goggins, man, like always messing people.
They don't know me, son. They don't know me. Son.
Oh my god, it's so freaking funny. Oh my god, that guy's crazy. Anyway, probably one of the most serious questions we ever ask any of our guests, and this one, it's a reflective question.
For sure.
Are you happy with your career so far?
Ooh,
I know.
So far, it's yes comes to mind, you know, because of the trajectory and the path that's being built. Am I super satisfied? If I could just, you know, pull the plug right now, would I be like, you know, happy with everything? Probably not. There's a lot to achieve. There's a lot to do. But I think the trajectory. I think that's what the question is, right? Like with what we have
for
accomplished.
Sure.
I don't think, I can't even imagine. Like, I'm so grateful with everything, the way everything is, because I know people who've been acting since they were kids, and I can look them in the eye and actually talk to them about acting.
Yeah.
Like that's in its own way. You know, I stepped up, you know, in a way. So Yeah. It's definitely a yes.
You know, I really liked how you answered that, though. It's definitely a yes, and I'm grateful. And but then if I were to pull the plug, would I be satisfied? No. And you know what that is? Because I feel like any creative, any true creative, they're a perfectionist. They always want, it could always have been better. I could have done this. I could have done that. That's just the nature of being a creative. You're never completely satisfied with it. So you never want to pull the plug and say mission accomplished, right? But you can't not be grateful for where you're at and what you've accomplished. I think you answered the question brilliantly. I think that lives in every single creative. I'm grateful, but don't pull the plug yet because I'm not done, you know? So yeah. That's great. That's great. Dude, this has been an amazing interview, man. This has been a lot of fun. You are a very like-minded individual, and we love talking to people that are like-minded and understand the business, but also learn from. Like Logan said, I feel like this is a great interview that not only we learned from, but people listening are going to learn a lot from this and your path and how you approached it and everything. And we are so grateful for you to come on and share your story and talk with us, man. It's been honestly just an amazing interview, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And same, I had so much fun talking to you guys. This is incredible. And I know you keep bringing people back, so, you know.
You know. Yeah, yeah, you know. I think they like us, Logan. They said yes to come back. Yeah, dude. Yeah, anytime. Open invite, my man. Anytime you want to come back, even if it's not for a full interview, you only got a couple minutes, come on. We do a top five on every show. Come on and shoot the shit with a top five with us, you know. And just any open invite, my man. Anytime you want to come on, it's always there for you.
Highly appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Of course, so, of course.
Of course, and it's all about social media, too, so where can people see those rock hard abs?
That's right. You know, not here. Put that sweatshirt down, man. What are you doing? I thought he was reaching. I'm like, wait a minute. We got the E, but come on, man.
Not the M-A.
That's so good. You know, Instagram is definitely the page to go to, except it's more personal. So I try to post less film related stuff there.
Yeah.
But I can't help it, right? Yeah. Whenever I see something cool, my algorithm has fixed itself to just aesthetically pleasing TikTokers, Instagram videos all the time. So I do share a lot of that. So if you're in for fun memes, random ab photos that are only there because I've been holding my breath for like 30 seconds, then, you know, shout out to Instagram.
Sure. And what's the handle?
Is first name Siddharth_Sharma with two A's.
Okay. And we're going to give you a little hell because Logan and I were talking about this and they're like that name. There's like 5,000 of you. Like,
I know. I thought it was unique. Like when I started out, I thought it was unique. I thought this name was not as big as it is.
Yeah. When we have to click through 34 of you on Instagram to find the right one, it's like, what the hell is going on? Like,
I'm not that big yet, guys. It's soon. I should pop up in the very top. But right now, you know, you gotta.
Well, listen, we're gonna manifest that too because anybody that listens to this conversation and watches your work, you'll be there, my friend. You will be that big. You will be at the top of that list. Listen, man, take care. Again, open invite whenever you want to come back. It's all there for you. And we just could not be more pleased to talk to you tonight, man. Very best, continued success. And we will be talking to you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
You
and
bet.
Same, you guys are killing it. And, you know, I know you're going to keep killing it. So all power.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. We appreciate it. We appreciate it. Well, take care, brother. And we will see you later.
You too. Ciao.
All right. Man, oh, man. I love it because so many people that are young and are going to really take care of the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like he really cares about it. He cares about the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
And so I'm super excited to see where he goes.
No, for sure. I was thinking that the whole time through the interview. Like, there's always a transition period. You're always handed over to the next generation. And when we get guys like this, you know it's going to be in good hands. You know it's going to make like stellar leaps to the next level because, like you said, you've got this guy who cares about it. And, man, just what – and he's just like a genuinely good human being. Cares about the industry and a great actor. And, you know, you could tell he's passionate about what he does. But then he's just a great guy, you know.
Exactly.
And that makes it even better. Like, you know, when you're a great actor and a great, you know, director and a great person, it doesn't get any better, man.
Exactly. Thank you again, Sid, for coming on the show.